Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Ivan Kimball. My name is Bobby, event manager. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star 0 on your telephone, and our operator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded, and now I'd like to hand over to Ivan. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay, welcome everyone. There's a large number of people out there at the moment, so thank you for that. If I haven't spoken to you yet, Happy New Year and all that. It seems a long time ago now, the 17th of first of January. So the safety hour, as we've always said, doesn't have to actually be a full hour, but it's something that we want all our staff to have an opportunity to have and indeed to have a safety hour every week. If we work on average, I don't know, 40 hours a week, 35 hours a week, whatever our contracts say or whatever we do, 1 hour or one slot out per week doesn't seem an unreasonable amount to be really focusing on safety. I think many of us are doing safety critical tasks many times a week. So obviously it's really good just to focus our minds on safety, and indeed at the beginning of team meetings or key meetings, it's good to have what's called a safety moment, where we just think about safety at the beginning of that meeting while we're all together, and that's starting to get us to always put safety first. So welcome, and you'll have your chance to chip in, ask questions, make comments, help others in a minute when I've finished the sort of monologue bit at the beginning. So just some stuff to go through. Safety hour attendance last week was really high, and the week before that as well. So coming back, we wanted everybody to have their sort of stand down brief, their back to work, start safe. A really great way of focusing. So not only do we want to spend the time each week, but the first thing we sort of do when we come back after a bit of a break, if you were not working over Christmas, etc., is to be thinking about safety. So that's fantastic, and we've had the cold weather, etc., snaps and ice and stuff. So really great safety hour attendance from that, and we want to keep that going. Close calls raised have been very low, and we need to get ourselves back into the swing of constantly looking for those close calls around us. Remember, every close call is a possible prevention, preventing an incident or accident. So absolutely key that we could be saving somebody from being hurt by raising and then us closing that close call. So they were low. I think that will be picked up a bit with Womble bags and keeping the railway tidy and recording that through close call. That's the way we want to record that. So if you're starting to pick up, if you like, poor bits of scrap material, clips, insulators, whatever, don't forget to report it as a close call to say that you've made that bit of railway that little bit safer. So that's really great. And then percentage of close calls closed within 90 days. We sort of targeted ourselves as 80% of those actually were above that. That's great. But there's been a real drive to make sure that we're keeping on to that target. And indeed, each of the Becky's direct reports, so the exec have been tasked with adopting a difficult close call or a close call that's been hanging around for a while so that we can help unlock the closures of those close calls. So that's been really insightful as well. So that's really great. So if you've been helped with a close call to be closed, that's what's driving that. So they're the sort of initial stats for the week, if you like. What's really great is last week we've got that there were no accidents or incidents, as it were, which is fantastic news, that nobody got hurt last week. And we shouldn't be surprised that that's our aim, our target, everyone home safe every day, because if you describe that there's a chance you're going to get hurt, if you go to work, why would you want to go to work, sort of thing? It's reasonable to expect to go home safe after work every day. And indeed, you know, there's an imperative for that. And as we said, you know, there's a legal requirement, there's a business requirement, it costs money to have accidents, and there's a moral requirement, you know, just as being a human being, we shouldn't, we don't want people to be hurt around us. So absolutely key, and it's fantastic, no accidents or incidents last week, which is really great. So going through some stuff, I suppose, from the safety cascade or safety hour sort of central location that you can click onto. A couple of things. I suppose the first thing is quite should be amongst everybody now is the our safety workshop. The next round, the next run of those are in the spring, as it is, I suppose. So we've got four of them. They're already booked in out there, and indeed some are already completely booked up. So we expect everyone to go to one of the safety workshops. Absolutely everyone have the opportunity. We're finding that's quite difficult for some of the signalers and some of the S&T, but actually we want, there's more than one location and there's more than one opportunity. So on Wednesday the 15th of March we're in Guildford, the Mandalay Hotel. And then Tuesday, the 21st of March, we're at the Hallmark Hotel in Bournemouth. So that's the 15th of March, Guildford, 21st of March, Bournemouth, 28th of March, the Novotel at Southampton, and the 6th of April at Woking. So as before, we'll do one at 10 o'clock and one at 10 o'clock in the evening. So there's two slots, one in the morning and one in the evening. That's those four days, so one in the morning, one in the evening, so that's eight in total are coming up. So that's Wednesday the 15th of March at Guildford, 21st of March at Bournemouth, 21st of March at Bournemouth, 28th of March, Southampton, and the 6th of April at Woking. Make sure you're booked on there, get in there, etc. I know Southampton during the day is already virtually, well, it is fully booked during the day. So make sure you get in there and make sure everybody you know is booked in as well. So other things to go through on the what's on the log, if you like, or the blog. The first thing is what does a good close call look like? As I mentioned earlier, I know that each of the exec is trying to help close close calls that have been going for a while, and have experienced some of the info in the close call system that hasn't been very. It's needed some more work on, and I know that a number of responsible managers find that difficult or timely. So on the Safety Hour blog, there is a section about what a good close call looks like. And this is really around the information that we give when we're giving a close call, such that somebody can find where it is and aren't running around trying to find where this close call is. So the first thing, what makes a good close call in this document, it says, loose screw at Reading Station is a genuine close call received by the close call centre, and that's all the information the reporter provided. I think they did that on their app or whatever. So clearly we need a bit of a checklist of points that may not have been previously considered. So geographic location. If it's track related, we need to be quoting the ELR, the mileage, the chains, the up and the down, and the type. If you don't know what an ELR is, engineer's line reference, the Bournemouth main line is BML1, and it goes into BML2 and 3 further down the line. But if you are not aware of what the ELR is, there is also the Where Am I app, which also converts that for you. That's on the Network Rail app catalogue. But also you can ask the track boys as well, where if you don't know. But that's if it's track related. Yeah, geographic location, nearest station. It's handy to tell the nearest DU. Postcode, again, Where Am I app will could help with that. The nearest bridge or the signal box, or the location number, location cabinet number, the office, the asset, the unit number. It's really all about giving some extra information. There's even GPS navigation from Scout, which is another app as well. So Where Am I app and postcode. If you're at an access point, all our access points should have a blue sign up giving where you are, the mileage, and the postcode as well. I think about 70% of our access points have got that fitted at the moment. We're aiming for 100% as we're cracking on with those signs now. Physical location, so you can add a photo on the Close Call app where you can annotate the photo. So sending in a photo is great as well. And then describing the problem, you know, what could happen, what the potential danger is, you know, and if you're able to close the close call yourself, which is what we want, we still want you to report it, but that you've closed it yourself, replacing a ladder or addressing an unsafe behaviour, speaking to someone. And if you can't close the close call, then suggest who can. So local knowledge will help us sort of assign it to the right responsible manager, because they don't always get allocated to the right responsible manager. So if you know that the off-track SM for the outer DU may need to help with this, or the track section manager at Waterloo or whatever, that helps with the allocation, and then means that people can be dealing and closing that close call quicker. So I just ask, are we making good close calls? If somebody's got a good example of a close call they've made, maybe they can share that with us in a few moments when we open it up. But, you know, what was the situation? What was the potential for harm? What was the outcome? What have we sort of learnt locally from that? So even if we think the situation is too difficult or complex, we can always make the call so that somebody else can act. And also, we've got to remember our principles of fair culture that mean it's okay to speak up if we think people are working unsafely, to help change behaviour. And I'd really just ask everyone on the call, have you raised a close call in the last few days? If you haven't, we need to be thinking about that. I am positively looking around us to see if there are close calls, if there's behavioural close calls, somebody not using the level crossing or the zebra crossing at the rock, or people having wires trailing through the office, people leaving their bags in places where they could be tripped up. So this is all the sorts of things that we can be raising close calls and actually closing ourselves, actually moving the bag, moving the wire, mentioning to people to use the zebra crossing. I know a number of people have been mentioned that. So these are all examples, as well as removing bits of scrap that we can put in a womble bag or in the back of the van, and remember recording it when we've done it through the close call to say it's now closed. They're all the things that make a really good close call, and above all make a difference to stop preventing harm, preventing things hurting or issues arising. So really good close calls, and we shouldn't be ashamed to have a bit of a target to push us to think around us what close calls there are, because if it forces us to think about it, that's really great, to be thinking of things that could hurt people around us. What a great thing to be reminded to do. So close calls. That is what makes a good close call, and I suppose in summary it's all about making sure the information in the close call that somebody could come and find where that close call is again easily. And so that's all that information to find it easily. And even if that says going off the end of the platform ramp 10 feet on the downside towards country, behind signal Whiskey 238, this all helps find the exact location. And we haven't got people running across the countryside trying to find where your close call is, and it just means the close call gets fixed quicker. Okay, so that's that. The next item, so be thinking about that close call, and even if it's just removing a bit of scrap or clip, we can record that. Then sometimes we use the on here something by Infrastructure Project Southern, their Southern Shield, where all their contractors can feed into it, and I've just taken the latest one and looked at a couple of things on there. They've raised a couple of close calls on there. They've given some examples of Waterloo South sidings, access gates, the shared public and railway areas were left unlocked. We should be all constantly looking to see gates and things are locked because of trespass and children getting access, whatever. All these things we never want to happen, so it's all about being vigilant but raising the close calls if we see something. And not least, terrorism as well. Is there someone that shouldn't be somewhere? And this is all about making sure our gates are closed and we're ever vigilant about that. So they're great examples of close calls. Also, I think the big thing that was raised in the Southern Shield, you may have heard about it, is Network Rail fined $800,000 after a worker is hit by train. So this person was a team leader or section supervisor, I think, actually, in Red Hill. He was struck by a train, and he survived, sort of broke his shoulder and stuff. So the words here are, Network Rail has been fined $800,000 in prosecution brought by the ORR following a serious incident on the railway 2.5 years ago. So in June 2014, a track worker sustained a multiple serious and life-changing injuries whilst performing rail maintenance work near Redhill in Surrey. The ORR inspectors concluded that the work on the main line between Brighton and London was inadequately planned and managed, placing track maintenance workers in unnecessary danger. The court heard that the works were scheduled whilst fast, frequent trains continued to run in an area with a narrow and steep embankment, where the ability of the track workers to retreat to a position of safety when trains approached was materially compromised. The court also heard that works could have been done at night when other scheduled works would have ensured that no trains were running. So the issue here was, it was, I think they were inspecting some joints or some clamp joints or whatever, and they, but the area, the position of safety, the embankment was so steep that from the ballast shoulder down it was very steep, so there wasn't really a level position of safety, and we could suggest that that area really should have been red zone prohibited, or there wasn't an adequate position of safety to step into. There was pictures at the time of people sort of sitting down on the floor on the embankment because it was so steep, and then that means that people aren't getting out of the way of trains at appropriate times. So can you think of an area where there isn't a position of safety, and so therefore should that be red zone prohibited? If you can think of something like that, please raise it as a close call, but also with your DU workforce safety advisor, your line manager, just so that we can investigate and prevent it being used as a position of safety. Because here we've had one of our colleagues hit by a train. He survived, but life-changing injuries. And that's because there wasn't really adequate position of safety. So it's a good reminder and good for us to go out there and have that in mind. And the company's been fined for it. You know, it's that serious that somebody's hurt and, you know, this is the seriousness. Somebody's been hit by a train. I mean, surviving being hit by 700 tons of metal is no mean feat, and we just can't have anyone being put in that situation. So something for us all to bear in mind. Then the last thing on the on this South Shield was they come across a contractor who'd been putting up blue nylon fencing using metal pins, and it says here the erection of nylon fencing using metal pins is unjustifiable, as there are many safer alternative fencing options such as Vortox and freestanding posts cast in buckets, etc. So, or bases. So, just a reminder of shoving metal pins in the ground. This is because in the past people have hit power cables, even with buried services information, it's still a risk. And so, I've really nearly very badly hurt themselves. So, that's just a good reminder. Right. So that's enough of me talking. What's more important is your views, your comments, and your examples of close calls that you've raised, or any other issues. Be more than welcome to open that up now. So, Bob, if you could open up the lines and tell us how to raise a question or a comment, that would be great.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key, just ensuring that your line is not on mute at that time. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines remain on listen only. So, just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. We do have a question in the queue, but we do have the caller's name recorded, so if you have asked a question, you're live on the call now. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Afternoon, Ivan. It's Jim Rousseau.
Hello, Jim.
Just around close call, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Again, recently, I had a close call assigned to me as responsible manager, and... And this was for a problem at Wimbledon Signalling Centre, and I've not been at Wimbledon since July 2015. So I did advise the call centre of that and to redirect it to the appropriate responsible manager, and I did follow it up with a heads up to the local operations manager at Wimbledon to say this is coming and with the close call details anyway. But that had happened previously as well in the last sort of year and a half as well. So I'm just wondering how the system deals with basically movement of people to make sure, because obviously some of these things could be quite affected if they're delayed and not going to the right responsible manager. So I just thought I'd raise that as an issue with the system.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jim. And if you've raised it before and it's not been corrected, then that's pretty poor. So that is one of the reasons why I said when we're raising a close call, if we think we know who the responsible manager should be, we probably, that's really great to raise that in person or in role title. I will check up with the team about what distribution list they've got for responsible managers. I've picked this up already that responsible manager allocation doesn't seem to be always 100% right. And I suppose in a system that's covering the whole of the country, but for us the whole of the route, I would expect the odd error to be made, but it to be corrected very quickly. So, excuse me, I will follow that up with Pretty and the centre for making sure that we give up to date responsible manager lists as well. We need to double check that. But thank you for that, Jim. And I think it's probably incumbent on the DUs and the and the operating centres, etc., to make sure that they're giving out the right numbers, the right names. It's all in our interest to get it done as soon as possible. So I will follow that up, Jim. Thank you very much for raising that. Anything else for anyone else?
Thank you. And the next question or comment comes from the line of
John Deary.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ivan. John Deary here. I'm a project manager at Watch Delivery. Ivan, it's in relation to the Red Hill fine. Now we've all got fined $8,000. Now, if my memory serves me right, it was 14 years ago on Wessex when we started putting in red zone prohibited areas. And if I recall correctly, the message used was to send our patrolmen out with rangefinders as we're doing the patrols, recording information, bring it back to section manager. Section manager reviewed it, and then information found its way into the hazard directory. I'm not sure whether we've ever gone back and looked and re-verified that information. My strong suspicion is that some of the red zone areas that came through may have been a bit patchy in some areas. And is there any intention to revisit the red zone prohibited areas on Wessex to see if we've actually got the right information in the hazard directory now?
Right, so I know that the workforce safety advisor, the DU workforce safety advisors, lead on changing the hazard directory and getting or imposing red zone prohibited areas, and we know, for example, that we've the near miss that happened on the Pompey line over the bridge with two with contractors, vegetation contractors, that was made red zone prohibited, and I know of a number of other areas that have been made red zone prohibited areas. I do remember the review that we did at junctions and also at level crossings with the rangefinders. I think the rangefinders are still out there, if they're not made their way onto golf courses, etc., for people to check. And maybe we should have a push for that, to constantly be reviewing our red zone prohibition, our sighting distance, and therefore that's one of the things that goes to form a red zone prohibition. There's often it's the position of safety is more is the issue, and I know, for example, we know that outside of Waterloo, that's all red zone prohibited for patrolling, and so they have to have specific arrangements in place to carry out patrolling with positions of safety created through line blockages, etc. So I know there are lots of red zone prohibited areas put in, and that's constantly under review, I suppose, in if people raise it. And I know that the way you do that is through the Workforce Safety Advisor, the DU Workforce Safety Advisor, is the control to change the hazard directory and put in those red zone prohibited areas in. So if anyone has a concern about an area, they can raise that with the Workforce Safety Advisor for the DU, who will follow that up. Clearly, a place where you may do that is if you're the cause, you may come back to your planner who's done your SALPS plan for you and say, I'm not sure about that. And we've got the workforce, we've got the work safe procedure where if you don't think something's safe, you raise it and you stop the work, as it were, so you don't do it. So there are a number of ways, but maybe we can have a more further review constantly of our safe system of works. Will be great. I know we were reviewing as part of some of the near misses, we were going to use patrolling diagrams to show where we can and can't do place lookouts, etc., to help us with that areas of safe system of work plans, which by its nature will include red zone prohibited areas. So I know there's lots of work, and there has to be constantly vigilance and work with that. With the rangefinders, I will find out where we are with rangefinders, and if we need them, we can get them. That's not a problem. So thanks very much for that, John. Appreciate that.
Thank you. And the next question or comment, that comes from the line of...
Tracy Capstick.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, Ivan.
Have I said something I shouldn't have done?
No. I wonder. I was listening to your answer to John Deary. Two reasons. One was we've got DU Red Zone steering groups to be set up, and actually they should be in the pipeline because that was one of the recommendations that came out of Godalming.
Yes. Yeah.
So the inner and the outer have got to set up these red zone working steering groups, and it's on the agenda for discussion at my meeting with the Workforce Safety Advisors next week.
They chair it. Well, that's the plan, isn't it? I think it's...
Yeah, so we need to knock out some rules of the game. and get them a little bit organised on it, and how best to manage it to maximum benefit. So, no, you did very well. It was just I was itching to get that plug in. Because if anybody has got any ideas on that, or they want to be part of the DU steering group on this, drop me an email. I'd really appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Trace.
Thank you. We have no further questions or comments. So just to remind you, if you do wish to ask a question or make a comment, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Thank you.
Right, just see if anyone else wants to have one last comment or question.
We have got a question just a minute, and that comes from the line of...
Grazia.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Ivan. I don't have a question. I just have a comment. With our OH service transitioning, I've received some emails from a few line managers concerned about arranging competence medicals for their staff. They've contacted HRSS, the medicals team, and have received a list of clinics, and all of these clinics have been off route. And there have been concerns about, you know, sending their employees off route quite far distances to have their contract medicals renewed. I just want to just set out what we've sort of agreed up until today with OH Assist and Southwest Train to get our employees reviewed and just update the line managers, those who are listening. We will also be making this available in communications within the next week or so. So firstly, all employees whose CompSec medicals are due by the 6th of February, Southwest Trains are working really hard to get these employees seen and have appointments arranged, and are working with line managers to get these employees seen. So Southwest Trains are aiming to get all employees whose CompSec medicals are due by the 6th of February seen. Any employee who, for some reason or not, can't be seen by Southwest Trains, and those employees whose CompSec medicals are due by the 31st of March, we are working with OHSS to set up some clinics. The dates still to be confirmed. And these clinics will be arranged in Basingstoke Rock. And once those dates are known, we'll be communicating those dates out to the line managers of those specific employees whose competence are due by the 31st of March, and those that can't be seen by Southwest Trains for whatever reason. All employees who CompSec medicals are due from 1st of April onwards, HRSS and OH Assist will be working to review those employees, and clinics within Wessex are being set up. So they will be primarily in Basingstoke, in London Keith House, and I believe in Bristol as well. But as soon as those clinics have been set out, they will be made available by HRSS. So if a line manager contacts HRSS, they will know when those dates for those clinics are. However, Wessex's clinics are still not up and running the same way as for the rest of Network Rail. Okay,
thank you very much. So I know there were a number of people concerned about that, so that's great. Okay. I suppose if in doubt, they can give you a ring, Grazia.
Most definitely, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Right, if there's, is there any other questions or comments out there?
There are no further questions or comments in the queue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Right, well, we'll bring that to our halt there then. Just to summarise then, good close calls are the ones that have got all the information so somebody can find it again. We've got our safety workshops getting booked up quick and fast, so please make sure you get on there, and we want everybody to have the opportunity to come. I think it's always good to have that reminder about this person that was hit at Red Hill by a train, and is there somewhere else where something similar could happen where there's not a very good position of safety, or etc. It's good to have that in the forefront of our mind, and close calling, etc. And we've got that steering groups in the DUs coming up. And then we had the Grazia mentioning about the occupational health interviews, or not interviews, appointments, etc. So have a really a great day, safe day, a safe rest of the week. Don't forget to report your attendance to a safety hour, and that of your teams, and don't forget your close calls as well. Thank you very much, everyone, and be safe.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.